I like a Christmas Eve worship service in simplicity with not a lot of bells and whistles that just allows us to focus on the person of Jesus Christ. I wanted tonight just briefly to talk to us about the uniqueness of Jesus' entry into the world. And the story, and I'm sure that most of us know this, but the story is in Luke chapter 2, Matthew chapter 1. And if you don't have a Bible, or if you need one so you could read that story, you feel free to take one of the Bibles that are in the pew. Luke chapter 2, Matthew chapter 1. It's just good to concentrate on God's Word, especially at this time of year, all the time. The uniqueness of Jesus' entry into the world, it's singular, it's matchless, it's extraordinary, it's miraculous as well. These days, some parents that are going to have babies, maybe you've done this if you've got a baby in your arms right now. These days, it's pretty common to have a gender reveal party, where my daughter had one where you find out whether you're going to have a boy or a girl. Jesus's was a God reveal party, and he had angels announce what was going to happen with his, and so it wasn't a blue balloon or a pink balloon. It was an angelic message, which is pretty incredible. He has a unique angelic reveal. Let me read to you some passages of scripture. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. That's unique. I've never heard that before. What sort of greeting this was. Greeting, O favored one, the Lord is with you. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." A fulfillment of a prophetic scripture. God spoke to David, 2 Samuel chapter 7. There's also a passage in Chronicles that refers to this. Over in Revelation, when you fast forward to the end, after Jesus had already been raised from the dead, about 30 or 40 years later after that, Revelation 3 says this, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, who is true, who has the key of David." Jesus was designated to sit and rule from David's throne, and he says, "I have the key." He has throne rights to David's throne, and interestingly, and sometimes this is an unknown or bypassed, overlooked thought, interestingly, they had to come from Mary's lineage, even though she was a virgin, because Joseph's lineage because Joseph and Mary being of David's lineage, there was a curse, and you can find out about that curse on Jeconiah or Coniah in Jeremiah chapter 22, if you'd like to look at it, or text me and I can send it to you. There wasn't anybody, this guy was so wicked, there wasn't anybody that was going to sit on David's throne from his line, and that's where Jesus came from. One of the reasons why he had to be virgin born. Jesus had a unique angelic reveal. Both his mother and father's reaction to the miraculous news was unique, unmatched even. Listen to what Mary did. After asking the angelic messenger, how could this be possible, Mary still being a virgin, Luke 1:38 says, Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Didn't matter what happened. If God was in it, Mary was for it. And she said, "Whatever it is, I'll lay my reputation on the line. Let it be to me according to your word." She had a matchless response. Another response from Mary we see in the words of Elizabeth spoken to her. After traveling to the hill country to Elizabeth's house, who was John the Baptist's mother, Luke 1:45 says, "Blessed is he who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And so Elizabeth, speaking to Mary, said, "You're blessed because you believe what was spoken to you from the Lord is going to happen." And so she had a response that was unique, matchless. Joseph did as well. Matthew 1 says this, "The birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. And behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is one impressive young couple for the Lord, both Joseph and Mary. They were obedient in the revelation that they had from God to the degree that God wanted them to be. Jesus' first encounter with John the Baptist was unique as well. Listen to this. Yet unborn, both babies still in their mother's wombs, we find this narrative in Luke chapter 1. In those days, Mary arose, went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. She entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And so Elizabeth's baby leaped in her womb as soon as she heard Mary speaking. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your woman, the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Who told Elizabeth what had gone on already between Mary and the angel? Maybe it was part of their conversation. We're not sure. But she said, "Why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." And so this leaping in her womb was discerned by her as a leap of joy. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Elizabeth's take on baby John the Baptist, leaping in the womb, was that he leaped for joy in the presence of the Lord coming into his place. Jesus' birthplace was unique also, extraordinary even. It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Joseph and Mary weren't wealthy, but the reason they didn't have a space in the inn isn't because they didn't have the money to buy the night in the inn. The reason they didn't have a space in the inn is because of the census that was being taken inundated the city, and so everybody else had taken those rooms. We know they weren't wealthy, though, because the offering that they gave for Jesus was a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. We find that in Luke chapter 2, verse 24, rather. So they lived by humble means. As the King of Kings, who will one day sit on David's throne, Jesus merited the most extravagant of surroundings at his birth. But instead of guards and high walls and pomp and circumstance, Jesus' entry was humble and meek. Jesus is the opposite of unapproachable. Like some these days in the political realms that hold high offices seem to be unapproachable, Jesus is the exact opposite of that. He's approachable and accessible and available, his terms, but very approachable. After all, that's why Colossians chapter 3 says this: by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So he was before his birth, and yet he was at his birth when he became 100% man and 100% God, and all things are held together by him. Jesus' birth was unique as well because of his first visitors. Luke chapter 2 says this: Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day, so they appeared on that day, there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, and you know it, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was when the angel had gone away from their when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. He had unique first visitors also. Jesus had a unique encounter at the time of his consecration. This is in fulfillment of Exodus chapter 13. He's still an infant. Mary and Joseph are fulfilling this Exodus 13 passage by presenting their firstborn to the Lord of the temple. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem. They were in Bethlehem, so they brought him up now to Jerusalem. He's at the most a toddler, but not a newborn baby. Brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. So we're in Jerusalem now, and he encountered Simeon. And this is what he said. "There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation or the comfort or the help for Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." And so this old man had heard a revelation from the Lord, from the Holy Spirit, that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. "He came in the Spirit," verse 27, "into the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do to him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms. So Simeon's an old man, was able to take Jesus up into his arms, and he blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel.'" And I find it really interesting that Simeon, a Jew, would mention that he would be a light, that Jesus would be a light to the Gentiles first, and that he would be the consolation for Israel as well. And then we fast forward to Jesus right before he was crucified, or right before he was raised back up into heaven, and he's giving marching orders, going to all the world, to the Gentiles and the Jews, and preach the gospel. So Simeon said, "I can rest in peace now. I've seen the salvation of the Lord." And yet Jesus was just a little baby. There was also Anna. There was a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, this is kind of a strange way of saying it. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin. So she was married for 7 years, and then he died, and she became a widow. Having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day, coming up at that very hour, just like Simeon had received a word from the Lord, just like the shepherds had received a word from the Lord through the angels. She as well came at that very hour, and she began to give thanks to God and to speak to him, as to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And so she saw Simeon worshiping the Lord, holding this toddler, saying that he could die now in peace because he had seen the salvation of the Lord. And Anna comes along and she begins to talk to everybody in the temple about what's going on. So he had a unique encounter at the time of his consecration. But the last that I wanted to mention is the most important, and that's the uniqueness of his name. Jesus had a unique name. At the end of the 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So before the whole thing started happening, he had already been given that name, Jesus. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, we find another name. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. And that's from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, that was written some 700 years prior. happening just exactly how God said it was going to happen. It's the only name that brings salvation. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, in Acts chapter 4, said this. Let it be they had healed somebody and they were getting called to account for it. And he said this, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. This is the stone, Jesus is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And so we celebrate Christmas, and it's Jesus, and it's the Messiah, and it's Emmanuel, but it isn't Jesus as a baby. We celebrate that. That's not even the starting point. The starting point was way back in the garden where God already existed, and Jesus was part of that Trinity as well. And this is just the right time. And this is what it says in Galatians. And we'll finish with this. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. The reason that I can stand before you tonight and say that I'm a son of God has nothing to do with who Jerry is. Has nothing to do with the task that I do. It has everything to do with God and his mercy. And Jesus came and died on the cross and said, whosoever shall believe on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And on April 8th, 1980, I believed on the name of the Lord, and God started then a work in me, and he hasn't stopped yet. And if you're his tonight and you've been adopted into his family, you know that experience. But I want you to know that there isn't a person in this place that can't be adopted into his family, because Jesus' sacrifice was absolutely adequate for the sin of the world, for yours as well. He's very approachable, but we have to approach him on his terms. And his approachable terms on are, believe in me. Believe and follow. It isn't just a head believe. It's a head believe that filters all the way down to my heart and just pursues him in my life. And so the question that I have for all of us tonight is this. Are you a son through adoption? Ladies, are you a daughter through adoption? There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved, except the name of Jesus Christ. And what I wanted to do, and I purchased quite a few of these, and the kids are going to get a candy cane with a little booklet, Mom and Dad, if you want to read through and share with them the gospel again, because it's good for them to hear it lots of times. I purchased some booklets that the title is You Must Be Born Again. And I've got them up here on the front pew, and it would be great if I didn't have any of them left over and I needed more. And you could come up to me afterward and say, Jerry, I didn't get one, but I want one. I'll get you one, all right? It is just critical that we know the Lord. Jesus came. We worship him not as a baby, but we worship him as the one who resurrected from the dead, who said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Listen, it was either the best designed lie that has ever happened or the absolute truth that should make every single one of us sit up and pay attention. And the reason I think we should sit up and pay attention is because of fulfilled prophecy after fulfilled prophecy after fulfilled prophecy after fulfilled prophecy over and over and over and over again. Am I a child of God by adoption? No one's birthed into the family of God because mom and dad love Jesus. We have to be adopted into the family of God because we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that you're here tonight and that we can just start out this Christmas season with a worship of who Jesus is. And I really trust and hope that you have been adopted into the family of God. If you have any questions, grab one of these, grab me afterwards. Would love to just sit down and talk with you.